ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Burton strikes it, likes it, kicks the goal. Matt Burton is 5 from 6. And who would have thought would be saying this with 6 minutes left on this Thursday night? Game, set, bingo. The Bulldogs are beating Penrith. They've got it in the bag.
The Bulldogs saw Nathan Cleary's 200th match and decided it was actually their night, proving what many thought was not possible. The 2026 Panthers are fallible. The NRL have headed to the big state this round, and with the Perth Bears less than a year away, big crowds and keen fans will be vital. And how long until the Broncos' injury toll catches up with them and starts to impact their premiership defence? Plus, we haven't even had a wildcard round in the AFL yet, but is it already up for sale? I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Zach Bailey is a rugby league reporter with Channel 9. And Zach, last night was meant to be all about Nathan Cleary and his 200th game, but the Bulldogs spoiled the party. Does this mean the Panthers are fallible? And was this Cameron Seraldo's best win as Bulldogs coach, do you think?
Oh, great question, Poppy. It's right up there as his greatest win. It's definitely the best performance of Lachie Galvin's NRL career. He'd been in the spotlight. A lot of people were questioning whether he was a genuine seven or halfback and not a 5'8". But he outshone Nathan Cleary in game 200 last night. He was really impressive on the right edge with Jacob Preston. They've got a really good combination there.
Two tackles left. The ball played by Salmon. Goes right to Galvin. Short ball, Preston, straight through to Lungy. They must score. They do score. Inside ball is Atili Tuivasa. It might be goodbye Penrith time.
The Panthers were unbeatable, or allegedly unbeatable, before that match last night. But clearly the Bulldogs were up for it. I was out there last night. I spoke to some of their players after the match and interviewed them. And they said they couldn't ignore the noise that said, oh, no one gave us a chance tonight. They definitely used it as motivation. They knew the occasion that was Nathan Cleary's 200th. They really muscled up. They played really good footy. They were quite disciplined. On the flip side, Penrith were out of sorts. Very rarely do you see such a poor performance from Penrith. Their left edge, there was a lot of talk about players potentially playing in the Origin arena. Their coach, Ivan Cleary, after the match said perhaps their performance was so bad because they were thinking about Origin. Obviously, he said it tongue-in-cheek.
I just guess the left edge in particular looked like that's where they targeted a bit.
Yeah, maybe they're getting ready for Origin camp. I don't know.
but it's a bit of a wake-up call for the Panthers in the sense that, hey, there are other teams in this competition. They are flying at the moment. They were 5-0 to start the season. This brings them back a peg. I think it makes them even more dangerous. But to answer your original question, yeah, it is right up there in terms of Cameron Serrato's best wins ever as an NRL coach.
And just quickly, I know it wasn't a win, but 200 games for Nathan Cleary. There aren't too many who have put together 200 better games of rugby league, are there?
No, he's a four-time premiership winner. I know it's a different arena, but three-time Origin series winner, a two-time Clive Churchill medalist.
Kenny, short side left, Cleary, steps past, 1, 2, 3, scores between the posts. Nathan Cleary has turned this grand final. He's picked it up, raised it above his head and flipped it over.
Some of the performances we've seen, especially in grand finals and big games, have been up there with some of the greats of the game. I spoke to him after the match. He was really, really disappointed. But the one thing I must say about Nathan is that he is such a good person away from footy as well, in terms of he spent 30 minutes up in the stands, you know, seeing his family and friends who had made the trek out, all the fans. And I said to him afterwards, hey, why do you still do this? And he goes, I play football, but these guys turn up rain, hail, shine, win, loss, draw to support me and support us. The least I can do is get back there and take selfies and you know, kind of smile through the pain. So hats off to Nathan Cleary.
Scooped up here by Alan Motti. He turns it back to Cleary, puts in a crossfield kick, looking for Jenkins. Jenkins a catch. Jenkins a double. He scored a million of them, and it's 16-all. What about the precision of the Cleary kick?
200 games down, who knows how many more ahead, but let's hope he's in the game for a lot longer, and perhaps he could break Cameron Smith's all-time record of 430 games.
That's a long way off, but as you say, it's probably not out of the question. The Broncos take on the Cowboys tonight, and the Bronx woes continue with Walsh and Hunt out for a period, Reynolds still not back. When does this sort of turbulent start to 2026 actually start to threaten the entire season for the defending premiers?
Yeah, good question. I mean, Reece Walsh, this is a bit of an ongoing situation. He's very brave in the way he plays footy, and this is, I think, the third cheekbone or eye socket fracture that he's had in the last couple of years.
And he'll get to his feet, Campbell. He plays it to Verrills, given to Moran, who almost ran over the top. He's out, Walsh! Is he out? Reece Walsh is on his back. I think he's concussed. He might be out of the game.
And they are delicate injuries. The best thing is that he's not gun shy. When he does return, he goes into the contest just as hard as previously, but he's their live wire. The big question is around their aging halves in Adam Reynolds, as you mentioned, and Ben Hunt. Adam Reynolds, a short-term injury. Ben Hunt potentially out for 8 weeks. The best news there is they've got Ezra Mam, who is a solid playmaker to come in. Tom Duffy, who's a former Cowboy, will face his former side tonight. But it's whether they can keep those key players of Reece Walsh, Adam Reynolds, Ben Hunt, all through the middle, the spine players, fit for long enough so that they are in the top four essentially by the end of the year. Because the issue is no team outside the top four is really a premiership threat. The stats show that, history shows that. If results continue to go ways that nobody expects, then it could be a really close competition battling for those top four spots. I do expect the Broncos to be in and around that top four, top six debate by the end of the year.
Two games in Perth this weekend, Zach, as the big state tries to get NRL fever ahead of the Bears joining the competition next year. The Perth Bears talked this week about wanting to sell out every home game in 2027. So how important is Saturday's doubleheader to kind of prove to the NRL world and to West Australians that this expansion will work?
Yeah, it's hugely important. Some of the biggest names in rugby league in terms of Mal Meninga, the Bears coach, Wayne Bennett, the Rabbitohs coach over there, Ricky Stewart, Raiders coach, Roosters coach, Trent Robinson, some of the biggest names in rugby league are over there at the moment with their teams trying to sell rugby league, I guess, to the Perth and West Australian audience, which, as you know, are rusted on in the Aussie rules and AFL world. And there's no doubt that it's going to be a real challenge for the Bears to get a stronghold or get momentum over in the West. The Perth Bears, they launched their academy this week, which is exciting in terms of players that are going to start coming through the system, and that's going to be key for them moving forward. If I'm the NRL and the tickets maybe not going, you know, as well as possible, I'd be going to local schools. I'd be giving tickets away left, right and centre, so there is a big crowd there. Even if it's at a loss for the game, you want to have a big crowd in the West watching that doubleheader this weekend. The next 6 months is vital for the Bears moving forward. They want to have momentum. They want to have plenty of supporters. They want people in merch so that when they are in the comp to kick off 2027, as you said, the stadium is filled. I don't know if it's going to be a sellout every game. It's ambitious, but, you know, why not? Got to be ambitious in this world when there's so much competition from the rival codes, especially the AFL over in the West.
You got to risk it to get the biscuit. Zach, finally, here's something I didn't think that I would be saying at the end of last season. The West Tigers in second take on the third placed Knights. Which of these teams can realistically maintain this early positivity and form?
Oh, it's a great question. Nobody saw this coming at all, especially given Kalen Ponga and Dylan Brown have been injured since round two for the Knights, yet they've been able to maintain this really strong form of footy, and it's been really exciting. And our players are loving what Justin Holbrook, their new coach, has brought to the Knights, especially after finishing with a wooden spoon and coming through a really tough period over the last couple of years under Adam O'Brien. As for the Tigers, so many eyeballs on Benji Marshall. The club's been the basket case of the NRL over the past decade or maybe longer. And here he is, a young rookie coach, getting a huge extension in the off-season. The CEO walked out. They've got some great players. Jerome Luai has also been injured. But the real impressive aspect of both of these teams is their ability to overcome injuries early on in the year and continue to win.
Back to Madden. Field goal. No. It's missed to the right, but it's a penalty. Parramatta's inside the 10. Penalty to the West Tigers. They are going to win.
It's a huge contest, Campbelltown, on Sunday afternoon to see where both of these teams are actually at when they're against each other. They both play a similar brand of exciting footy. As for who can maintain it, oh, great question. By the end of the year, I don't know. I really think they're a similar style team that have similar chances of where they'll end up by the end of the year. But this weekend, it's a huge weekend. it's a Tigers home game. Here's a stat. They've lost their last five matches at Campbelltown. Of course, they move around. They play matches at Combank Stadium, Leichhardt, and also down at Campbelltown. And they've lost 15 of their last 17 matches at Campbelltown. That is not good at home, right? So that is a stat. They call it their jungle, but they haven't been kings of the jungle for a while. So the Tigers need to show to their home fans that, hey, we mean business this year, and we mean business in one of our home grounds in Campbelltown. So hopefully for Tigers fans, they get the job done, but a huge test up against the Knights who are in form this weekend.
Big weekend in rugby league. Zach Bailey, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Poppy.
Gather Round is underway, and while Adelaide were the winners of the opening match, the talk of the town was actually the wildcard round. ABC's Corbin Middlemass revealed that it could be up for sale.
One thing that has been raised in part of this planning and concept building and everything else is the idea that WA or another state government could bid for the right to host the wildcard weekend. Now, at the moment, as it's going to be the case in 2026, we're all thinking 7th and 8th will host the wildcard games. But that is no guarantee to continue at the end of the season.
It feels like WA are playing Monopoly and bought all the good properties and put hotels on all of them. The AFL have been big on the wildcard round being good for fans. Those are the same fans who might have to fork out to fly across the country to watch a match their team would ordinarily be hosting.
Our fans love finals games, so we think it provides opportunities and provides hope for our fans. And then 7th and 8th, you'll get to host a home wildcard final.
For more, make sure you're up to date with the ABC AFL Daily podcast. While we're talking AFL, the Lance Collard Tribunal into an alleged homophobic slur in the VFL headed into a second day today, and a decision is yet to be handed down at the time of publication. Keep across the ABC News app or the ABC Sport website for more details. Soundbites. The Masters are underway, and Rory McIlroy has started in ominous fashion with his best Augusta opening round in over a decade. He's currently 5 under, tied for the lead with Sam Burns. Australian Jason Day is tied for 3rd, and the talk at Augusta has been about how fast the greens are.
Just depends on what they want. Like, I mean, if they want single digits to win, it'll be baked out and fast, and guys will be, you know, kind of spewing on themselves out there, you know, it'd be really difficult.
Yeah, spewing on the greens is one way to soften them up, I guess. The Aussie women's cricket team have just wrapped up an undefeated tour of the West Indies. How do you think they celebrated that? At the pub, of course. Not just any pub, though. Australian-owned and themed Old Mates in New York. Backyard cricket hits different in the Big Apple. And if your family is anything like mine, you've probably connected with them on more than one occasion over sport. But for the James family, it's a bit more literal.
On the drop pass, the steal, Bronny, son to father, LeBron James.
How many times you see, they probably worked on that in backyard.
That is a backyard 1v1 that could pack an arena. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to the NBA and the Australian Women's Cricket Instagram for the extra audio used in this episode.